Oh, what joy when we get home. Rest beneath that cloudless dome. In that land where saints never die. I love to hear that. Saints never die. We're going to sing hallelujah. Hallelujah by and by. I love the word hallelujah because all it means is praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. I wish that we would say hallelujah more often. And I understand why we don't. You know, sometimes the world throws us, you know, obstacles in our way and we forget how good God is. But I believe that every morning the Christian should wake up and say hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be here today. Good to see all of you here. Let me start off by apologizing for my tardiness. My son decided to have a blowout right before we left the house. And we had to make some changes before we can make it here safely. What did my daughter say? She said he's a, what did she say there, Kayla? He's a pantseroor, a something sure, and a boo-booer. She said on the way here this morning. He gave us another experience this morning, but we're glad to be here. I always want to thank you for your attendance and thank your leadership for allowing me to be here. It's always a pleasure and an honor to share the word of God, and it's really an honor to be able to stand in the same pulpit where Brother Amanzo Jones has labored for so long and has done a wonderful job. He's just a good man of the word and a wonderful man of God, so I'm always honored when men like this allow you to stand where they stand and labor on a daily basis, a weekly basis. I won't be long. I said that last time. I tried to follow. But we want to get into the study of the book of Proverbs. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to Proverbs, the first chapter. And while you do that, I think it's important for me to acknowledge those of my family that have come to be with me again on a day. I see Cheryl out there with Andrew. And Cheryl has been my sister for years and years and years. And she came to visit with us today, so we're excited to see her. And then I see my sister-in-law. Now, that's a real treat. If she come and hear you speak, you're doing all right. You're doing all right. So she stayed with us last night and went and changed her clothes and came over here to be with us, so we're excited about that. And then always my wife and my two kids are there, Kayla and Levi and my daughter Darren, who is always excited to hear her name called. So we're excited to be here. So if you would, we'll get into the study of Proverbs. And Proverbs is one of those books that I believe every Christian should study at least once a year. At least once a year. It's a book that I get an opportunity to study often, especially if I'm in a situation where I don't have a lot of time, but I want to be able to engage in the Word of God. Proverbs is always a good book to start. I feel like every time I read the book of Proverbs or open the book, God just shows us something new. Something fresh. God doesn't really give new revelations. You know, everything that's in his Bible, in the Word, has always been in the Word. But I believe when we study God's Word, we are able to get fresh revelations. The way that we live our life and the things that we go through allow us to see God's Word differently every time we study it. So I believe Proverbs is one of those books that never really gets old. And it is a wonderful book for the Christian to be acquainted with and to study on a regular basis. So if you're looking for something to study this week, get into Proverbs. It's got a lot of practical knowledge that you can take away right away and use on a daily basis. I love the Word of God because it's not just theological. I mean theological, and it doesn't just have doctrines, but it also has practicality. And I think in order for us to really understand God's Word, we have to look at how practical it is to our daily lives. So the book of Proverbs, and I'll give you a title for the day, and this is kind of a twofold title because we'll get to half of it this morning and the other half this afternoon. And the title of this scripture is called The Characteristics of Sin Versus the Call of Wisdom. And we'll look at what sin does in comparison to what wisdom does, and how sin behaves in comparison or in contrast to how wisdom behaves. So if you would, we'll start right at the beginning of Proverbs. And if you don't mind, I'll give you a little bit of a layout of what's happening in Proverbs or who wrote Proverbs, and then we'll get into our lesson for the day. The book of Proverbs starts off in the very first chapter of Proverbs. It says, the proverb of Solomon, the king of David. So if you notice, the proverb is just, verse 1, is just literally giving us a title for the book. Okay? Now, Proverbs, the majority of Proverbs was written by Solomon, but theologians believe that all of it was not written by Solomon, but he was the primary writer. The same thing that we find out about the book of Psalms. We know that Psalms were written by a number of people, but David was the primary writer. We also know that the book of Proverbs is not a complete list of all of the proverbs that Solomon spoke. Because if we look in later on in the Bible, we see that it says that Solomon had something around 3,000 proverbs and over 1,000 songs. And the 3,000 are not in this book, so we know that there's more out there that were not recorded, okay? But these proverbs, the first verse just simply tells us the name of the book. Verse 2 then gives us what we could call in education the thesis statement or the theme. Or what will take place in the book of Proverbs? It says, "This is what will happen," or "This is what the book of Proverbs is about: to know wisdom and instruction, and to perceive the words of understanding." Now, after you get with the title, verse 1, the theme, verse 2, then verses 3-6 give you the way in which it will be laid out throughout the book, or the way that wisdom will be exposed to you and how you can learn from the wisdom. So verse 3, it says that you will learn the wisdom by to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And then it says to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will increase his learning. A man of understanding will obtain counsel, and to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So it's telling you all the different things that you can gain from Proverbs. A man who already has knowledge can get more. A young man can attain it. To the simple mind, he will be able to receive prudence, or he will be able to have better judgment, or be able to make wiser decisions. All of this will come out of the study of Proverbs. All right, y'all following me? Yeah, if y'all don't follow, I had to get close. I'm coming down that way. Just to make sure we're all together. And then verse 7 tells us the way that we can obtain what is in the book. Well, actually, it gives us the very first step to obtaining what we need from the book of Proverbs. In verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what it's saying now, verse 1 is a title. Verse 2 is a theme. Verse 3-6 shows you what you can gain if you say this word. Verse 7 then tells us, in order for you to get anything in this book, the very first thing that you have to have is the fear of the Lord. You follow me? Now, that's not the only thing that you have to have, but it is the first thing. It is the start of your understanding of the book of Proverbs. Now, when you read the fear of the Lord, we use the word fear in so many different connotations. In this book, when it's saying the fear of the Lord, it's not saying fear as in afraid of the Lord, but it's saying fear as in having reverence or respect or a love for God is the beginning of knowledge. So I tell you, if you want to be foolish, don't love God. That's what it's saying. If you want to avoid knowledge, don't have a healthy respect for God. All right? So the book of Proverbs, in a nutshell, it encourages us to be wise. And it shows us the steps to wisdom. All right? Now, this is important because man is, and don't be offended when I say this, it's just the truth. Man is naturally foolish. We are naturally foolish. So in order for us to obtain wisdom, it is going to take some work and some skill that takes place. So I know a lot of times, when we think about wisdom and we study this, we study as if wisdom is obtained through age or through living. That's not the case. Wisdom is obtained through work and through establishing skills. Say, Brother Mason, how do you know the wisdom is not obtained through our living and through age? Because I know some old people that are foolish.
Right.
I know a lot of times we look and we say, oh, you know, we think the older we get, the wiser we get. No. Wisdom is obtained through practice and skill. That's what wisdom really is. You have to be skillful at living as a Christian. And the only way you obtain skill is through practicing what the Word of God says. You follow me? So it's some older folks that have never practiced living wisely, and as a result, even in their older age, they are foolish. Okay? So man naturally is foolish. How do I know that to be true? Anybody ever heard of Adam and Eve? All right, now listen to this. Let's just lay out this structure, this hierarchy. God is the all-powerful, correct? Adam has been given dominion over all things, including the animals. Adam is then responsible for Eve. Adam takes instructions from somebody that is lower on the food chain than he is. The serpent is not higher than Adam. God gave Adam dominion over all animals, even the serpent. So the very fact that Adam is listening to a creature that's lower than him is an example that man is naturally foolish. You see that? Because if Adam was naturally wise, that means that he would have always paid attention and adhered to what God said. Right? It's like this. In my house, I am the head of my house. And my wife in here, I ain't scared. I'm the head of my house, right? And my wife might be the neck, but I'm the head, right? Now, but in my house, it would be foolish for me to take instructions from my son or my daughter. Now, my son can't even talk, but my daughter can talk a lot. But it would be foolish of me to take instructions from my daughter because I have more authority and more knowledge than my daughter, and I brought my daughter here.
Right.
You get it? It's because of the relationship of my wife and I that she's here.
Okay.
So it would be foolish for me to let her run the house.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, from the very beginning of time, man showed and gave us evidence that he was foolish. Because Adam listened to Eve, who listened to the serpent, and Adam was the one who was in control. You follow me? So then wisdom is something that we have to work at. And the way that we get there is through, first, through the fear or the respect of God. All right? That's the opening. Now let's get to the lesson. All right. Now, we get into verse 8. And I told you the name of this lesson or the title of this lesson is The Characteristics of Sin versus the Wisdom or the Call of Wisdom. Okay? All right, so when we get into verse 8, now that verse 1 and 7 has laid out the book for us. Verse 1, the title. Verse 2, the theme. Verse 3 through 6, the table of content. Verse 7, how we need to get this wisdom. Verse 8 starts the instruction, right? So we get to verse 8. It says, my son, hear the instructions of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. So first thing that we need to know as we grow is it's important for us to be able to listen to those who are caring and more wise than we are. Now, we studied this scripture in the college program, and I had to remind my young ladies that it says my son, but really what it means generically is my youth, my children. So this scripture is relevant to both men and women. Okay, so it says, listen to your mama and your daddy. Real simple. It says, before, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So it says that if you listen to the wisdom of your mama and daddy, the way that a garland or a way that an ornament or the way that a crown sits upon the head and on a body, the way that it makes the body same way that if you listen to the word of your mother and father, you will look spiritually. You'll grow, okay? And then it says, my son, and this is where the scripture gets in, but we'll pick up. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down to a pit. We shall find all kind of precious possessions. We shall fill our house with spoils. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Let's look at the first characteristic of sin. It's in verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you. Sin is enticing. I'm coming down. I got to come down.
This is easier for me.
Is this all right?
All right?
Y'all, please don't tell on me later on, okay? But the first step is that sin is enticing. I got to give you the characteristics because if you don't know the characteristics, you won't know how to follow or get away from it when it comes. What do I mean by sin is enticing? The word entice simply means, it means to attract or tempt by offering pleasure or advantage. See, the thing about sin and the reason why sin is so strong and can take a stronghold on our life is because sin tempts us. And in order for something to tempt you, that means you have to like it. You see what I'm saying? See, there are some things that the devil cannot tempt me with, right? And the reason why he cannot tempt me with those things is because I don't like this, right? Well, the devil is small enough not to even bring things to me that I don't like. He brings things to me that I think or will find pleasurable, and those are the things that he tempts me with. So you got to be careful for those people who entice you or they bring things to you that are tempting. That is a characteristic of sin. That is a characteristic of the devil working. Because the devil knows if I can get you to do something that you know is not good for you, but you like to do, then it's the first step into sin. So you got to write this down. First step in to the characteristics of sin, or the first characteristic of sin, is that it is something that is enticing. Now, I know we talk about sin as if we don't have any. And we sometimes look at sin and we always seem to have the tendency to talk about somebody else's sin. Don't do that today. Today, just think about what is the thing that the devil entices you with, okay? So the first step of sin is that it is enticing. And we can find that throughout scripture. Every time we see man fall, it's because he did something that he wanted to do or something that he likes to do. That's the reason why Paul talks about it in Romans. He says, those things that I think, that I know I shouldn't do, I find myself doing. Now, why would Paul do the things that he knows he should not do? Because the things that he knows he should not do spiritually feels good to him carnally. All right, so sin is enticing. The second characteristic of sin is that it says, it's in verse 11. It says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk in secret, lurk secretly for innocent without cause. Look at that. Let's go back to the front of verse 11. If they say, come with us. The second characteristic of sin or a sinful relationship is that it looks and tries to isolate. Okay. Now you gotta watch this. Think about it. If you have found yourself in a situation where it's easier for you to sin, in most cases, it's because you have been removed or isolated from a community of believers. See, it doesn't say if they entice you and they say, hey, let's go out in the middle of the day and start talking. It says, come with us. Let
second step, it isolates you. And I know y'all think I'm crazy. So let's go to Proverbs 18 chapter. Eric, somebody get the Proverbs 18 chapter verse 1. Somebody else give me Proverbs 2, verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 1, verse 18, verse 1. And then somebody else give, I'm sorry, not Philippians. Proverbs 18, verse 1, Philippians 2, 3 and 4. Did I say that? Mm-hmm. All right, somebody read. What does Proverbs 18, verse 1 say? Anybody? Okay, so let's go back to 18, and I want to read the way that thing is written in my text. It says, 18, it said, a man, and this is the New King James Version, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against wisdom and judgment. All right? So what you got to find out is if a man starts to want to get alone, or a person wants to isolate you, it's because they are seeking their own desire. What does Philippians 2, 3 and 4 say? Anybody got that? Uh-huh.